Hey, thanks so much for visiting DrewSkaggs.com.
A lot to talk about. Besides the fact that I'm glad they can't see me because you made fun of my outfit before we went on the
you
air.
Said
no,
it first.
No, I don't recall that being the case. You were making fun of my outfit. Look, I was working so hard, diligently prepping for this show, the 2 hours that we produce together here. And, you know, we're a team. And you would think that I would have a little, you know, just I walk in here, I get banged for. Quit that. I get banged for what I'm wearing. You know, that I don't mind telling you it hurts. But I'm gonna get over it one way or the other. As I said, a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about Barbie. You want to talk about Barbie?
Sure.
You know, Barbie is 50 years old.
I heard that.
Yeah. She looks good for 50, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But if you're in West Virginia, you might not be able to buy Barbie or sell Barbie or something in West Virginia. Our politicians, once again, working so hard, so very hard for the people, in this case, in West Virginia. Let's see. Pelosi says that she's open to a second stimulus, which, why not? I mean, you know, how's TARP 1, TARP 2? The mortgage bailout, the $800 billion stimulus. And, you know, they passed a $410 billion omnibus package today. I mean, how's that working out? I mean, is the jobs coming back? How's everything working out with those? We might as well throw some more money down that sinkhole. We've got some Hollywood. We've really got varied stories that we're going to talk about. And is it still not working?
It's not.
See, and so during the break, I'm going to have to come fix it. You know, so I wear a lot of different hats here. 1-800-551-1057. See, you want to talk about Barbie?
Sure.
We might as well, because that's what we opened with.
Yeah.
So there is a House bill. House Bill 2918 in the West Virginia legislature. It says be it enacted. So I guess it's good to go. I don't know. But this is dealing with Bill 47-25-1. Are you ready? It deals with the unlawful sale of Barbie dolls. What are these politicians thinking? I mean, you got chimp bills that pass through the U.S. House, and now they're, you know, I know the economy's in the tubes. You know, we've got a societal meltdown. Armageddon's right around the corner if you listen to a lot of different people. And somebody in West Virginia, who is this guy in West Virginia or woman? I don't even know. Do you even know who it is?
I don't have.
Because all I did was. I'll tell you what I'll do.
I think it was a guy, but I don't know who it was.
A guy. Well, that figures.
I saw something else on the news about it the other day. I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a toy.
Yeah. It says, it shall be unlawful in the state to sell Barbie dolls and other similar dolls that promote or influence girls to place an undue importance on physical beauty to the detriment of their intellectual and emotional development. Note. Now, remember, note. The purpose of this bill is to ban the sale of Barbie dolls and other similar dolls. You people in West Virginia, are you pretty happy with these people that you elect to go up there spending time working on banning Barbie? And the Ironton Tribune opined on it, the editorial board. And this is a Democrat delegate, Jeff Eldridge, from Lincoln County. So nearby.
Yeah.
What a goofball. Pays too much emphasis on physical beauty. So we have to get rid of, I don't know, football player guys, too. You know, my kids play with little football players.
Yeah, action figures.
They're not going to be, you know, 6'8", 420 pounds with 0% body fat, like, you know, if you ran it out.
Right.
Let's see. The bottom line is our lawmakers, according to the Ironton Tribune, shouldn't try to legislate things that good parenting should address. Censorship is never a laughing matter and not something that should be taken lightly. Whether it be... Now, they go a little over the top here. Whether it be book burnings, bannings by Hitler and the Nazis during World War II, or the attempt to silence free speech, history has shown that censorship of any kind leads to a dangerous place and erodes the freedoms our nation was built on, making our nation as flimsy as the dollhouses Barbie has called home for the past 50 years. My question to the Ironton Tribune editorial board, do you feel the same way about the fairness doctrine? Do you feel the same way about shutting down talk radio? Is that similar to Barbie dolls? You're saying that Barbie dolls is somehow equal to free speech, which I guess some Barbie dolls talk, don't they? You pull a thing back and the Barbie talks.
Some of them do, yeah.
But that's really not free speech, as the founding fathers wanted it to be. Now, we're going to keep this thing in case the editorial board comes out in their infinite wisdom here in about 4 or 5 months when something similar to the fairness doctrine is proposed, and just we'll be able to pull that out and see if they are true to what they consider censorship. Now, you know, Barbie she's turning 50 this year.
Right.
She's getting up there in age, Barbie is. And, you know, the cool new term, as we're trendsetters here, we when did we start talking about, like, a year ago, I was like, cougar, what is cougar?
Yeah,
remember that?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it just exploded. That's the new thing, cougars. Older women with younger guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And what did we find in the palatial studios here at 105.7, in our vault, the AIO vault? We have our own vault here.
Yeah.
We dusted off a bit called Cougar Barbie. And so it plays well. She's turning 50. Barbie's trying to be banned in West Virginia. We're going to play this for you.
Wow! Barbie's turning 50!
She's throwing a big celebration.
I can't wait to see who shows up.
They're here.
It's the college guys from next door.
Uh-huh. Cougar Barbie. Barbie is turning 50, but her taste in men couldn't be any younger. Cougar Barbie comes with dream Botox.
Hey, let's play some music.
Cougar Barbie knows all the latest dance moves. Don't
stop. You just never know where this show is going to go, do you?
No, you don't.
Yeah. So we did give away some T-shirts during the break. Let's give another one away. I'm in a giving mood.
Okay.
Because you know why I'm in a giving mood? It's because we have no internet connection here. We have no live feed of the show over drewskaggs.com, which is where you can normally go to. And Jeff is working hard at getting the getting our web page up and running, and he's made some really good progress with it. But bear in mind, it's a work in progress, and usually you can get on there at this time and just click one button and you see the live internet feed of the show. But alas, Scott Martin he did something to our feed here, and that's who we're going to blame it on. And who's ever calling in, just hang tight. Jeff will be with you. He's on the phone right now, so just hang in there as you call, because he's getting ready to get off the line right now. So, I mean, you talk about multitasking. That is what we do here. A lot of different things. Oh, they didn't hang on.
No, they didn't.
Man, I thought I was going to actually pull that one off.
Yeah, that almost worked, yeah.
So let me tell you what happens to me.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
You know that I've spent a lot of time banging on tax structures, banging on the tax system, banging on anything to do with the tax system as it is now currently configured, both in Frankfurt and out of that cesspool known as Washington, D.C. I've talked at length about it and focused on Kentucky here lately with the $456 million budget shortfall. And lo and behold, I get the letter. By the way, you're being audited. So it's just it'll be very interesting to see how this goes, because it's a first time for me. But I have nothing to fear. I pay my taxes. I told you I get this letter, says you're being audited.
Right.
which is kind of curious timing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I know.
Is it not?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, very curious, the whole thing, actually.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be interesting for me on the show to go through this process. And I've heard it described a lot of different ways. Not a whole lot favorably, that is for sure. But, see, I'll be able to report firsthand, although I won't be there. That's what my accountant is for, right? That's why I pay my accountant.
Exactly, yeah.
So he'll be handling that. But I'll be able to come back on here and report just how the audits are done. So it'll be very, very interesting to let you all know how that goes with my personal audit, that first one ever, I might add. That comes on the heels of ripping on the tax system of the state. So I'm not putting two and two together, but then again, maybe I am. Justin, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you this evening?
Well, I'd be doing better without an audit.
I understand.
You better be careful. We'll not give out Justin's last name.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, that's what we do. We protect our listeners.
Well, actually, that's part of the reason why I'm calling. I don't know. It's probably about 2 or 3 months before November. I had called and told you that I had seriously considered getting involved in politics.
Right.
And
you were going to run for a local office of some sort.
Yeah, a county commission is what I've seriously considered. And to be honest, Drew, I'm thinking more and more about it. I'm looking more and more into it. And the reason why is I can't understand for the life of me how Lawrence County, Ohio, they're worried about being able to pay their payroll for the first part of March. I mean, they didn't know if they were going to be able to pay their employees that worked for them
right
their first paycheck. And, you know, that really frustrates me when you consider that you have county commissioners that make X amount of dollars, and you have clerk of courts, and you have, and you know, I rip and I tear a little bit, and I'm frustrated with this. The reason why I'm frustrated, I have an uncle who was clerk of courts for quite a long time, and I have a cousin who is also in county politics right now. And my opinion, you know, you're elected to serve me. And as far as it goes, my tax dollar is what pays your salary. And to me, I think if you're worried about paying your payroll, I think you might want to consider cutting back the salaries on these county offices a little bit. I'm not talking about the secretary or somebody who works right under them.
Right.
So face it, that's their job. I mean, but these county, some of these county jobs, Drew, they're a part-time job. I mean, when you hold insurance companies, or when you hold gas stations and you own those or you work for those, or whenever you have other things that you're doing, I mean, to me, county commission must not be a full-time job for you. And that, it really frustrates me, and I'm sick of it.
I can tell. I mean, you know, we've talked a bunch. I urge you to run for it. I mean, I don't know anything. I don't know the first thing about the salary structure in Lawrence County of anybody involved in a political office that's an elected official. I've got absolutely no idea, and it doesn't really matter, to be quite honest. You know, fear not. You've got the Rone Theater, and you've got Memorial, whatever that place is. You know, and we were talking about that you know, way back when that was going on. And I made the point of, you know, what is the end game here? Just buying these buildings and say that's going to be the centerpiece of our turnaround from downtown Ironton. That's all well and good. But, you know, there's no plans for it.
There's a piece of real estate that was bought just the other day.
Okay.
And it was bought, Mended Reeds is what it was. And what's going to happen is they're going to put the Lawrence County Group Home there. Well, let's face it. The Lawrence County Group Home is no ways near big enough to really take up the piece of property that Mended Reed was on. And
what's a group? What's the Lawrence County Group Home?
That's where the juvenile delinquents.
Okay, I got you. So it's a juvie hall.
Yes, it is. And,
okay.
And to me, you know, whenever you look at this piece of property they bought, I mean, you have Les Balls and Jason C. I'll just name them. I really don't care.
You don't need to name them. I mean, I understand that you're frustrated with it.
They're the commissioners. They're the commissioners, though. So, I mean, they bought this piece of property, and they bought it supposedly for the group home. Well, the problem is, this piece of property for the group home, as I said, it's going to be way too big as it is. And not only that, not only is it going to be way too big, my opinion, it's kind of being set up for, well, when the group home falls through, we have this piece of property that we can do whatever else we want to with it. And it's to me, it's irresponsible spending on the county's part, especially when I've just said you couldn't even pay your first part of your salary, or you were afraid you couldn't pay your first paycheck or payroll at the beginning of the month.
Did they not, Justin, last year have didn't they have to shift around money majorly in between agencies in order to?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, I believe you're correct on that. And yeah. I'll be honest with you, I had thought about politics for a long time, and that right there was the beginning of me really, really not understanding why and how my county can fall through as much as what they do. I mean, to me, there's when certain people were elected in that county, it was, well, they're going to be the savior that gets us out of this economic crisis.
Wow, where have I heard that from?
Yeah, exactly. And the sad thing is what's happened. We've just went down even further. I mean, honestly, Drew, there's so much property in Lawrence County that could be bought and used for the correct thing. For example, everybody wants to talk about bringing jobs in. You could buy specific pieces of property right now for cheaper than once you bought the Mended Reeds property. You could bring in a Client Logic or a Sitel. And granted, service jobs aren't the best, but it's jobs in your county. It brings in revenue. You could do that. But we're not worried about that. We're worried about, okay, well, we bought this, and it looks good, and we'll get this building named after us, so we'll get this piece of property in it. It's ridiculous, and I'm frustrated with it.
Oh, run. I mean, that's all I can tell you, Justin. Yeah. You need to, I mean, that's how this is going to all happen, because you're frustrated with that. And listen, I'm not intimately involved over there at all with any of this. I just read what's in the papers, and I talk to some folks, and I opine, but that's about it. You live there. I do not. I was talking with somebody today, and we touched on a wide swath of topics, and one of the topics was how is this going to get fixed? This being D.C., and it's just as applicable in D.C. as it is here on a local level, wherever we're talking on a local level. And I said, it's two words. It's term limits. That's what that is. That's what's going to solve a lot of our problems. And you know, without the risk of without having to go into a long conversation about it and the reasons I believe firmly in it, that's another show. However, what the problem is that who's got to vote on term limits? It's got to be the politicians. They're not going to vote themselves out of office. That's not happening.
If Lawrence County hasn't seen by now, you don't need term limits in there. I mean, people can say, again, it goes back. And it's common. It's public known. Oakley Collins was there for how many years? George Patterson, somebody who I was close to, was there for how many years? But as far as it goes, what did these people do to either improve or to hurt the county? And I think when you look, and I'm not speaking ill of either one of them.
Right.
And term limits in general, what are these people doing? I mean, when you go and it's a cushy job for 12 to 16 years, I mean, it's a part-time job, for crying out loud. You don't even have to be there all the time.
That's See, Justin just wants a part-time job is what this comes down to. Have you noticed? Justin, we finally got to the meat of it.
Justin likes being a school teacher. I'll just tell you that right now.
Hey, Justin, I appreciate the fact that you're out there. You know that I do. And thanks so much for calling in and giving us your viewpoint. We really appreciate it.
Take it easy, buddy.
All right, you too. Take care. Be careful. Frustration, and the guy I was talking to today, he said, what's it going to take? And I said, it's going to take a revolution is what it's going to take. And I don't know if the revolution is 2 months away, whether it's 2 years away, or whether it's 20 years away. But there's revolution coming in this country. And I'm not talking about what I'm talking about is a bloodless revolution, a revolution that's done at the ballot box. That's what I'm talking about. And it happens every so often in our society. People are just fed up with all this money being spent and feeling like they have zero representation. And we went further about it, and he said, well, you know, this budget, how does that, you need to bring up how that affects us on a local scale, because you're talking about D.C., and a lot of times that doesn't translate into people. Well, I'll tell you how it happens on a local scale. Let's take AK Steel. Just shut down, okay, and it got fired back up. People went back to work. Okay, everybody's happy about that, obviously. But here's what is going to happen if we continue down this road. Not only are they going to be that they're going to be taxed more, within this stimulus package is a what's called a cap and trade system to fight the myth that is global warming. And what is going to occur is the people that are involved in a carbon business, coal mining, steel making, you can go down the line, who is involved with that is going to be hit with an enormous tax increase. Enormous. So much so that what's going to happen is that the steel companies around here, or around these parts and in America, and the coal companies in these parts and in America, aren't going to be able to compete. And I know that 2 years ago, that was the big buzzword. Bush is outsourcing all these jobs. Outsourcing, outsourcing, outsourcing. We can't have that. But yet these same people won't look at this and realize that the end result of these policies that we are now pursuing as a nation, the end result is exactly that, outsourcing on a huge scale, on a massive scale, our industrial capacity being outsourced. That is the end result of this cap and trade, the raising of taxes on businesses. That's the end result. Because China is not going to be part of this cap and trade. India is not going to be part of this cap and trade. That's who we compete against now. And we've had the calls in here, the people that call about, well, we need to slap tariffs and make it equal and all this other stuff. That won't work. But what will happen is the fact that companies that rely on steel and coal are going to be going overseas to get that product because the market forces are going to work to such a negative impact for American businesses that it will be cheaper for them to import steel and coal and carbon-based materials from overseas than it will be to buy them here in the States. Well, that can't happen. You don't want to do that. Businesses can't do that. Oh, yeah? Well, the first purpose of business is to turn a profit. It's not to provide health care for employees. It's not to provide a cushy 401k for employees. And that's what's happened over the years. People look at that and say, that's what business is supposed to do. No, it's not. Business is to turn a profit for its shareholders, period. And if you can't turn a profit by buying American products, you're going to buy them overseas. Period. So the t-shirts are just flying out of here. I have had a lot of just lovely ladies ask me for t-shirts, and they run relatively big. I think we ought to. Can you get women's? I guess I could get women's t-shirts, couldn't I?
I think so.
Is there such a thing?
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's been a long time since I shot for a woman's t-shirt. So I have to look into that. But I was telling you about my trials and tribulations with the taxing authorities here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, vis-a-vis my audit that was delivered to the House. That's just such a great day when you get the letter from the Department of the Treasury, and you grab it and it's thick and you're like, yeah, this can't be good. It's just always such a great day. But there is a letter that the guy named, what is this guy's name? Ed Barnett, and he's from somewhere down in North Carolina. He wrote a letter to the editor, to his local paper, and it has become an internet phenomenon since he wrote it. And it goes like this. Dear IRS, I am sorry to inform you that I will not be able to pay taxes owed April 15th, but all is not lost. I have paid these taxes: accounts receivable tax, building permit tax, CDL tax, cigarette tax, corporate income tax, dog license tax, federal income tax, unemployment tax, gasoline tax, hunting license tax, fishing license tax, waterfowl stamp tax, inheritance tax, inventory tax, liquor tax, luxury tax, Medicare tax, city, school, and county property tax, up to 33% the last 4 years, real estate tax, Social Security tax, road usage tax, toll road tax, state and city sales tax, RV tax, state franchise tax, state unemployment tax, telephone federal, state, and local surcharge tax, telephone, state, and vehicle license registration tax, capital gains tax, lease severance tax, utility tax, vehicle. You get the point.
Yeah.
You get the point here. And many more that I can't recall. But I have run out of space and money. Which is the money part. That's good.
Yeah.
When you do not receive my check April 15th, just know that it is an honest mistake. Please treat me the same way you treated Congressman Charles Rangel, Chris Dodd, Barney Frank, and ex-Congressman Tom Daschle. And, of course, your boss, Timothy Geithner. No penalties and no interest. P.S. I will make at least a partial payment as soon as I get my stimulus check. Ed Barnett. And that has hit the internet like a bombshell. And the reason that it has exploded in the internet world is that people don't fully understand all the taxes they pay until it's written like that. When you see all of these taxes that are being paid, and then you consider the fact that our government still needs money. We're broke. So the solution is to print money and then raise all of these taxes. That's why I said there is murmurings out there. You see it with this these Tea Party things going on. Have you seen these things starting to take shape?
Yeah.
Tea parties across America. People that are just fed up with what's happening in our country. And you know, these people are taking every opportunity to spend as much money as they can possibly spend, as quickly as they can possibly spend it. And they do it by scaring us. If we don't do this, it's gonna be worse. You know, a perfect example is the steal from us bill. I'm sorry, the stimulus bill. What is this? I get this. I don't know. People just wait for me to say something, and then they just bang on me for one sentence. You know,
yeah.
But I can take it. I've got broad shoulders. That's why I wear men's T-shirts to whoever just texted me with that snarky little comment about the ladies' T-shirt. Don't think it didn't go unnoticed. But fair not. If these things don't work, Nancy Pelosi, San Fran, Nan, you got four ready to go. Is ready to take care of this. Dateline the Politico. Pelosi open to second stimulus. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Tuesday she is open to introducing a second stimulus bill. But it's too early. That is a pig in the background, by the way. To determine the size of such a package and the timing on another major economic measure. We'll have to keep the door open to see how it goes. But Pelosi said she wanted to give the $800 billion Steal From Us package passed last month time to work before she starts making promises on a second one. She also accused the Washington media and cable news of being overly critical and expecting too much too soon from the first Steal From Us bill. This is a financially This is a financially sound package, she said. This is market oriented. Right. She also said, we hope it will be sooner rather than later that the stimulus catches fire in Washington, D.C. But we aren't waiting. In Washington, D.C., I thought that the Steal From Us bill was supposed to produce jobs across America. Why is she concerned that it catches fire in Washington, D.C.? Because the truth came out with that little comment. The only stimulus going on is government in D.C. being stimulated. That is what's happening. And to say it's financially sound and it's market-oriented, two gigantic lies. There's no market forces at work with this stimulus bill. But fear not, if this trillion doesn't work, another trillion should really get the economy going. Of course, if that doesn't work, there's always that extra special super multi-trillion dollar stimulus. That'll really get it working. You know, do you ever feel like a fire hydrant and your government is the dog sometimes? That's what people are feeling right now. And last show I had the fact that Israel was cutting taxes, both business and individual. India doing the same. And this week, England, Italy, Germany, and France are all saying, this is not the way to go about it, printing money. Now listen, I don't normally pay attention to those countries, but the fact of the matter is they are leftist countries, heretofore way to the left of the United States of America. So when you have these countries, Italy, Germany, France, England, to the right of the United States on fiscal policy, we have a problem. And it's a large problem, and it's just getting bigger. Of course she's open to another stimulus bill. They are funding every single thing they want under the guise of quote-unquote stimulus. Why wouldn't she be open to it? Because it just increases their power. And that, of course, is what it's all about. The power thing. Elected, re-elected. And what better way to do it than to have 50.1% of the population dependent upon government for making ends meet, for providing groceries. You can go down the list. Because what happens then is every election cycle, the more people that are depending on government every election cycle, then they can't afford to vote against somebody that isn't going to continue down the same path. Because if that goes away, then they're scrambling. Government's not taking care of them, and they can't take that chance. So, you know, you get these callers call in and say it's about jobs, jobs, jobs. This is what this is about. No, it's not. Don't delude yourself. Don't fool yourself. It's not. It never was and never will be until you actually put forth some sort of program that puts more money back in people's pocket and not some little puny $13 a week boost in your check that's going to be eaten up with higher taxes anyways. You know, until you do real market reform, real tax reform, it'll never happen. But the dirty little secret is they don't want it to happen. They want to spend this money. Nancy Pelosi wants another stimulus package. It's the politics of fear running out of control. They want to scare you and get their way with their programs. And they have been very successful so far with these programs. TARP 1, TARP 2, stimulus package, omnibus bill passed today, which President Obama said he would never, ever, 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 never, ever allow earmarks, 9,000 of them in them, in this one passed today, as well as the housing bill, as well as GM. You can go down the list. How's that working out so far? It's not. Martin tried his best. He tried his best to destroy our live internet feed at drewskaggs.com. I'm here to tell you, Martin, it worked. It worked for a while, didn't it?
It did for a little bit.
But no longer. It is up and running, drewskaggs.com, for the live internet feed. And we got a call during a break. A guy said, yeah, you spoke about the $13 that you're getting, that some people are getting in their paycheck every 2 weeks, a raise, or every week, whatever it is. And he said, but remember that the next budget that goes into effect, that's going to go right back. It's going to disappear because the tax structure is staying the same. However, it's very inside baseball stuff. I'm trying to figure out how to say this. I'm not doing it very well. It's going away. Let's just put it that way. It's going down to $8 in January, but you've got to pay taxes on it because it's additional earned income. So it's just a shell game that they're playing. This is the change. This is the tax cut that was going to 95% of Americans, which was just a bald-faced lie. And he also brought up the fact that that now President Obama is of the opinion that some earmarks, well, they're pretty good. And we just had the last show, did we not, where he was, I had it, where he said, when I'm president, there will be no earmarks. I will take it, go line by line, and get rid of those earmarks. Did we not have that last show?
Yes, we did.
I wonder if the press is going to call him on that.
Said, I think I screwed up.
Yeah, he did screw up. Let's see. He called it an imperfect bill, but necessary, and announced new reforms that he said would prevent wasteful earmarks in the future. Yes, he did not make any pledge to eliminate earmarks or reduce them. He announced that they're going to subject them to greater scrutiny and transparency. Transparency is the buzzword. This is going to be the most transparent administration in the history of our republic. When nobody knows where in the hell all this money has gone. How transparent can it be when you don't even know where the TARP money has gone? So on one hand, he says, I'm going to be the president that does not allow earmarks. But now, less than 100 days in office, he says, well, you know, done right, earmarks have given legislators an opportunity to direct federal money to worthy projects that benefit people in their district. And that's why I have always opposed their outright elimination. No, you haven't. You're too clever by half. You got your words on record, and we had the list of these earmarks. The Montana World Trade Center. How much world trade goes on in Montana? Not a whole lot. But thank you so much for the call. You know, we are in a technological age. Yes. Technology booming all over the place. I saw something today, actually. I was reading an article by my favorite writer, a guy named Matt Labash. Just Googling, he's fantastic. And he was writing about Facebook, and he just can't stand Facebook. It was a very funny article. But it was he put forth the figure, 374,000 people a day are signing up for Facebook.
Yeah.
A day.
Yeah.
How do they make money? There's no ads on there, right?
I don't know how they do it.
And it's free.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to be making some money because they just forked over $60 million to whoever they stole the idea off of, right?
Yeah.
So they're making. You go to Yahoo or whatever, and you see all the ads pop. And you know, Google, same deal.
Yeah.
You know how they're making money.
Right.
I haven't figured it out with Facebook.
I haven't either.
Because there's not a whole lot of ads.
Yeah.
There's very few. Are there any at all? I don't know.
I don't remember seeing too many, if any at all.
So anyways, where I'm going with this, my ADD kicked right in there, is that technology, let's just say text messaging. Okay? You text message people and you think, it's out in the ether. But somebody's getting that text message, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
And they've got a record of that text message.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like making a phone call. Yeah. You've got record of a text message. Even if you erase it, correct? Is this correct?
That's correct. It stays out in the the phone companies in on their servers and on their computers, and it can always be traced.
Always be traced.
Yes.
And the content can also be traced?
I think so.
Okay. So I've got my nephew, very proud of. He's a very good kid for the most part. He's got a bunch of buddies. And they're all goofballs for the most part because, you know, listen, they're 16. They're goofballs. That's the definition of goofball, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. But they're all good kids for the most part. So they got this one kid that he's buddies with. Let's just call him Cupcake. That's a good nickname, isn't it? Cupcake?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, Cupcake.
I think everybody likes it except him.
Right. Well, see, listen, it's a fun word to say. Say Cupcake.
Cupcake.
Yeah, it Cupcake. It's a fun word.
It is.
Yeah. So it describes him to a T. And this is a public service announcement, really, because a lot of people don't think about this, whether it's email, whether it's text, or what have you. So he made the mistake of texting. Some of his buddies got a hold of his texts. And, it's just an ugly scenario. Funny scenario.
Yeah.
Funny scenario. Ugly for Cupcake.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you just need to bear that in mind,
yeah.
that stuff can happen. But, you know, all those goofballs that are laughing at Cupcake, it can be turned around on them really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
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 You know? So just watch out.
I've got an interesting little thing kind of off from that. You know how we were talking about Facebook at first?
Yes.
They say that if Facebook was a country, it would be the fifth largest country in the world with all the members that have joined.
Well, there's like it's like over 150 million, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it would be the fifth largest country in the world.
Are you a Facebook guy?
I am.
It's really cool to start out with.
Yeah.
You know, it's very cool because you can, for instance, with me going to Kentucky, growing up in Michigan, now living here, I've been at various parts of the country and made friends in those various parts, and I've been able to reconnect with those friends, sometimes people I haven't talked to in 22 years.
Right.
But what is it with people that feel the need to let you know exactly what they are doing every, because what if you got that thing where it's your status, is it status, right?
Yeah.
You put in there what you're doing. And I've done it a couple times.
Right.
You know.
I do mine maybe two or three times a week, but not every hour.
Right. But
some people do every hour.
What is it that drives them that they think? All right, and another question. What do you do with 1,500 friends? Nobody has 1,500 friends.
No.
Quote, unquote, friends.
Right.
You know, you've got a handful of friends.
And somebody's band or their favorite band.
Oh, are celebrities on there too?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Funny you should mention that. I've been getting some private messages from Reese Witherspoon. And, you know, at first I thought that they were just, you know, she's stalking me again. She's found a new way to stalk me this time.
Yeah, you signed up for it. You never know.
I know. Well,
you're out there now.
I know I am. But what I didn't do, I guess, was what I need to do is just ignore Reese because it's getting she's very smart about this stuff. You know, she kind of waits in the weeds.
I think so, yeah.
And then starts barraging me again with she doesn't even care that I'm a happily married man. It does not matter to her a bit at all whether I'm happily married or not. You know, and she's just, I mean, she's overwhelming sometimes with this stuff. But that's an example of a celebrity.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. Like, I've got, I mean, you can I've got it blocked somehow. I don't know. I've got it blocked where people come in, or is that what happens? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I've got like 70. You know.
I don't even think I have that.
It's manageable,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
right.
You know. But I know some people have got like close to 2,000 friends.
I know. And here's the funny thing. I think the limit is like 2,000. You can't get any more than that. It blocks.
Well, what do you do then?
It blocks people after that, and then if somebody leaves, then it'll let the next person in line in, but you can't have more than 2,000 because it's an unreasonable number.
It is an unreasonable number, but I'm glad you mentioned that blocking thing to me because I can already anticipate Reese's next move here, getting some of her friends to try to do the end around once she's been blocked.
You know, if you're afraid they're going to come after you, you can send them my way.
That's true. I could do that.
I don't have as many friends as you, so I need to catch up.
Yeah, I hear you. We're flat gear. They're flying off the shelves.
I know they are.
And
very
and,
popular.
Well, what the point I made earlier? You were busy taking down names. servicing our listeners. And the point I made was, in today's day and age, with the economy as it is, and you keep hearing about all this people cutting back and cutting on spending, this, I mean, we've got it all here. You've got 2 hours. It doesn't cost you a dime. Thankfully, you live in Kentucky, so you've got coal for the time being that keeps your rates low. So it's pennies on a dollar to listen to the radio. And if you're in a car, it doesn't cost you anything to listen to the radio, to this show for 2 hours. And plus, we give free stuff away.
Right.
It doesn't get any better than that.
No, it doesn't.
We are really the cure for this economy. No, it's not, because we're already giving they're already giving free stuff away in D.C. You know, I spoke of Reese Witherspoon, and I'm gonna get away from that because she monitors the show, and you know, I don't want to give her any false illusions where she starts trying to contact me again. So we will stay in Hollywood, though. Annette Bening, are you an Annette Bening fan? She's a very pretty lady. She is Mrs. Warren Beatty, is who she is.
Yeah, I don't really get into her stuff much.
Yeah, well, she's an actress out on the left coast, and she took a she took a trip. And naturally, when for me personally, like we're thinking about where we're going to go spring break, Iran doesn't pop up to the top of the list. It really doesn't.
No.
But for Annette, Iran did pop to the list because she went over there with some filmmakers and other leftist liberal ilk from Hollywood. So she went. She goes over to Tehran, Iran, and this is her take on Iran.
In a movie lot outside of Tehran, Iran, Mecca's Kaaba is imaginary. Faces and figures, all fakes.
I know who that is.
What's not movie make-believe is Hollywood star Annette Bening in the middle of it all.
We've had a wonderful trip.
The Oscar nominee, part of the first official Hollywood delegation to visit Iran since the Islamic Revolution 30 years ago. The trip, part of a cultural exchange with Iranian actors and filmmakers.
It was fantastic. It was really inspiring. We had a chance to meet a lot of young actors.
It was fantastic. It was really inspiring. The key there is, since the Islamic Revolution. Hey, that's great, Annette. By the way, what color scarf did you have to wear to keep from getting stoned while you were over, and not the, well, I was going to say good stone, but that doesn't sound very good. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. To not get rocks thrown at her.
Yeah, to get rocks thrown at her. Stayed covered up the whole time over there, because you can't not be covered up if you're a woman. I wonder if she always walks around Hollywood like that, with the legs covered up, the head covered up. Hey, Annette, you live in California. You were vocal against Proposition 8 out there. Iran is so nice, Annette. I'm sure they didn't show you this part of Iran, where they hang homosexuals, beat or stone women who are raped because it was their fault, engage in global terrorism and murder, hate Jews and Israel, treat women like cattle. That is a real, real paradise you visited over there, Annette. Moron. These people, yeah, they live in these little bubbles where I guarantee you she had Revolutionary Guard members walking with her every step of the way. Everything manufactured, which, you know, which is what Annette does for a living. She manufactures. She pretends to be somebody. That's what she does for a living as an actress. But, you know, it's like Sean Penn going down and meeting with Castro and talking about how great the country is. You know, while they come back here to America and tell the world and America's Americans how much their country sucks. Do they not understand just how idiotic they appear? They go to these countries where women aren't even allowed to vote, aren't even allowed to go to school, and they think it's great. But come back to America and say how bad America is when it's compared to the people's paradise that is Iran, where they have no rights. But she doesn't care to get into anything like that, substantive like that. All she thinks is, it's so wonderful. It's just another example of the lunacy, which is Hollywood elites. Now, I was warned against talking about what I'm going to be talking about next. And, you know, I understand the warning, but please understand that I'm going to be using a particular subject, well, a particular athletic event, to springboard into a bigger topic. And it's not just banging to be banging on a particular program in the 16th region, because that is not my intent. First off, bias is out front. I'm up front and honest here. My nephew is the point guard for Ashland Paul Blazer High School. And I like all the kids associated with the program, as Scott Martin and I spoke of in his afternoon train wreck. They played Elliott County on Monday evening. And it was the semifinals of the 16th region tournament in basketball. And everybody's aware of the feel-good story that is Elliott County. And for the purposes of establishing my props even further with this subject, my father's side of the family is from Elliott County. My dad grew up in Sandy Hook, played basketball at Sandy Hook High School. I have friends, I have relatives all over Elliott County, and they're great folks. But what I noticed Monday evening was kind of disconcerting to me. I actually have a cousin that plays on Elliott County's basketball team also. It was disconcerting to me in this way. I am the son of a high school basketball coach. He's in the Hall of Fame up in Michigan. I'm very proud of my father and what he accomplished on the basketball court. I grew up on a basketball court. The earliest memories I have are being at my father's practices. And going, one of the greatest memories I have is going out to lunch with him after practices on Saturdays, following a game on Friday nights up in Michigan. So I love the game of basketball. I love watching it. I don't play it anymore because I'm too fat, I'm too out of shape, and I'd worry that I'd hurt myself if I did. But I love the game and everything about it. And the thing about high school basketball, especially in this area, and I've got two areas to draw from, Detroit area where I grew up and here. The thing about here is the pureness of it. You've got kids that grow up wanting to play for the opportunity to go to Rupp Arena in the state tournament. You've got kids that grow up wanting to take the floor at Morehead State because that's the last stop before Rupp Arena. And they play for one reason. They play for that team that's across their chest, whether it's Ashland, whether it's Greenup County, whether it's Rose Hill, whether it's Elliott County, whether it's Greenup County, whether it's East Carter, West Carter. Does not matter. You're growing up wanting to have that across your chest. Pride in your program. And the kids on Saturday night displayed pride on both sides. The thing I like about the Elliott County basketball program is the kids that play on that team play hard. They play hard every single second of the game. And I didn't see any trash talking. Somebody was knocked down, they picked them up. Classy kids, each and every one. The problem that I had and that I saw was a team that is number one or number two in the state, depending on the poll, that is up by 34 points with 6 minutes to go. The game is a fait accompli. It's over with. There's no way that Ashland can come back, or any team can come back from 34 down with 6 minutes to go. I don't understand leaving your starters in and throwing threes up until 2 minutes to go in the game. I don't understand that. The coaches that I played for would never have done that. Now, I understand people out there are saying, oh, you know, you're banging on Elliott County. No, I'm not. I disagree with what they did that night. I do. I plead guilty there. But I use that to springboard into a bigger subject, which is, when did high school sports in general become, how bad can we beat that team? How bad? Let's beat them as bad as we can possibly beat them. And I see it in football a lot, too. Up by 5 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Starter still on the field. Still throwing the ball. Trying to ring up yet another touchdown. Yet 2 more touchdowns. It's not the BCS. High school sports. It doesn't matter if you win by 50 or you win by 15. Just that you won. There's no computer model that gives you more points for winning by a greater margin. So that only leads me to the conclusion that the coaches, who are the ones responsible ultimately for this type of activity, running the score up on other teams, that's their desire. When did it come to that point? High school sports has, up until the last decade, has always been the last pure bastion of athletics. What I mean by that is, the kids that are participating in high school athletics are not going to the next level, for the most part. 99% of them aren't going to go to college and play whatever sport it may be. It's just not going to happen. So they're playing for the love of the game. And what's happened in the last 10, 12 years, I can't affix an actual timeline. What's happened is some things are sneaking in. Recruiting sneaking in. Here recently, it has been. However, where I grew up outside Detroit, there's a huge Catholic influence up there. And with that influence comes a huge amount of Catholic schools. And each and every one of them recruited up there. I can give you their names: Warren D. LaSalle, Birmingham Brother Rice, Detroit Country Day, which is where Chris Webber and Shane Battier went. You know, there's a whole lot of schools up there that do that. And it started there before it started down here. But, you know, my question is that teaching the kids the right thing? Is it? I understand that you want to win. Don't get me wrong. I want to win more than anybody. I've got one of the most competitive families you'll ever see. Everybody wants to win in my family, whether it's in business, whether it's in sports, what have you. And I'm a big believer in it. You know, my kids are growing up. That's their thing, is to go to the high school games and watch the quote-unquote big boys play. And they're growing up wanting to suit up and wear that uniform. And I want to direct them towards that, because I think it's a good thing. But we need to pull back some from just running the score up just as much as you can run it up and humiliating the other opponent. It serves no purpose other than to seed bad will. Now, what we're seeing today may be just a symptom of things in the past, such activities in the past that feed on each other. And by God, next year, you know, we're going to beat them by more than that. And then that team loses their players, have to rebuild, and they're not as good as they once were. And the team that they destroyed is going to remember that. And it kind of builds on each other, the ill will. When, you know, I was always taught, respect your opponent. You know, you knock them down, you get them up. You pat them on the back, the butt of the back, and say, you know, good play, good shot, what have you. But we're losing a lot of that. And it's sad. Now, just so you understand, I don't agree with the fact that that LU County was running the score up, and you can't deny that they were. When there's 2 minutes to go in the game and you're throwing threes up 34, that's running the score up. That's the very definition of it. Now, granted, if subs from one team is destroying subs from the other team, that's a different thing entirely. But it's the subs doing it. And I go back to the kids that dream of playing on that floor, sitting on the end of the bench that aren't starters, but are still a big part of the team. You know, rather than getting a minute in there, they could have got 5 or 6 minutes, scored a couple buckets. You know, really had a memory to share. They didn't get that. Now, just so you know that I'm not singling this out, I'm not. Although it sounds like it. Please understand, but I'm a 16th region guy. I want Elliott County to win it. I want them to win it, the whole thing. I mean, I want them to blow through the field. I want them to beat the schools from Lexington. I want them to beat the schools from Louisville. I want them to beat the schools from Western Kentucky. And I want them to bring a banner back to Sandy Hook and bring that trophy back to Sandy Hook, because it's a marvelous story. It's a wonderful story. I just wish I hadn't seen that, to be quite honest with you. Because it's disappointing that is necessary these days. And I see it more and more and more. And I don't know the solution to it. I really don't. It's just something that's, you know, I've noticed as of lately, that the mindset of a lot of coaches that they instill in their players is beat them as bad as we can possibly beat them. And when they're beat, beat them some more. I don't know. What do you think about it? I know we've gotten a couple calls that are not happy with me and that won't go on the air, which is no problem. But, I mean, I'm not asking you to comment on that game directly. Have you noticed this? I mean, I know you're not a big sports guy.
I know. I mean, I have seen it sometimes where it looks like teams kind of get out of hand with scoring and they don't really pay attention to what they might be doing to the other team. Like a month or so ago, I saw a story. It was a national story where there was a girls' ball team, and they beat the other team
100 to nothing.
I mean, there's no sense in that. Give them, I mean, maybe don't give them the game, but give them a chance, and don't run the score up like that to make them look bad. I mean, give them a chance to have some fun with it, because that's all what it's all about in the first place anyway, just having fun with it and learning from it.
Well, I think it comes down to coaching, too, because the coach calls the shots there. I know that when I played high school basketball, we were very good. We were a very good team up in Michigan, suburban Detroit. You know, we had a school of 3,000 kids. So you can imagine it was a very good basketball team. And we used to have the opportunity to blow out teams by 30 and 40 points. A lot. But our coach would never, that wouldn't even be considered. If it was getting out of hand even slightly, he would call a timeout, get us over there and say, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to run your offense. Yeah, but listen, I want you to make 4 or 5 passes. I really want you to work on running the offense. And he would teach that way, knowing that no shots are going up to further humiliate the other opponent. But he's still able to work his offense. He's still able to have his team out there working on their offense, albeit not with the focus on the basket. They're making the cuts. They're running their offense. If you're facing a zone, you're running a 1-3-1 offense. If you're facing man, you know, you're running two guys down on the blocks, making the back picks, that sort of thing. But shots wouldn't, and let me tell you what, if somebody got passed the ball to on the second pass and took a shot, he was coming out. And we knew that. I just think somewhere along the line, somewhere along the way, that has been lost. The respect for the game, and that's what it is. The respect for the game has been lost to a certain degree. I'm not saying everybody does it. But, and please, I know we got another phone call. I'm not I'm not singling them out, okay? And I know that fan is short for fanatic. And I understand that you get in an uproar about stuff like this. But I use that particular game as a springboard into a bigger topic. And I'm not going to get into semantics about it because it serves no purpose. You're emotional about it. I'm not going to just enter into it. Just not going to. Listen, I'm sorry. You're too close to it. Period. You know, back away from it. You're way too close to it. You're caught up in it, and it's great. But you're too close. You're not thinking rationally about anything. But that's okay. That's okay. That's why I was warned off that topic, actually. And I talked to some different folks about it, and they all gave the warning, and I didn't heed the warning.
Right.
I guess is a good way to put it, but I never do. I mean, you know, what I promise people on this show is intellectual honesty. And although that's, I guess it's not intellectual, I guess it's more theoretical. But you know, I was told this, and I'll leave it at this. It becomes between coaches a mano thing, a chicken and egg routine. Who's gonna blink first? Well, that's not an argument. That's a ridiculous argument because it's the coach that's winning that acts first, acts with compassion, and acts with sportsmanship. And that is my opinion on all that. And we will not broach it again, but say, go Elliott County Lions. Believe it or not, I want to see them sweep right through it and win the whole doggone thing and bring it to the 16th region.
It would be nice to see the 16th region win it all.
Absolutely. It would be absolutely fantastic, and it would be a perfect capper for those kids' career. And once again, those kids are great. I rarely see a team that plays as hard as they play and play together like those kids do. And they deserve all the kudos that have come to them, and hopefully more that will be to come. Let's see. Time for the world famous stupid stuff.
Oh, how come things that happen to stupid people keep happening to me?
So you actually found a tap dance thing?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Dateline Fair Oaks, California. Woman's tap dance classes confused with lap dances. Is that Gene? Who's the big tap dance guy? Gene something or other.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it? No.
Yeah. No,
was
he
it
did.
Gene?
Gene, yeah. Gene Wilder.
No.
No, he did.
That's the comedian dude.
I thought he did tap dancing too.
He might.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
A woman is experiencing a case of mistaken identity, not of her personal identity, but of what her business offers. When Helen Hart tried to jumpstart business at her house by putting up a sign for adult tap dancing classes, the 79-year-old granny started fielding calls for adult lap dancing services. Quote, "I get maybe 17 calls a week," Helen said. "I'm nearly 80, so age does mean something. Can you imagine a man coming to the door, and I open the door, and I go, yeah, and he says, never mind."
Wow.
Man, that is great. The average age for Helen's students is 60. A Bible is prominently displayed 10 feet from the entrances, and inspirational messages can be seen throughout her house. Anyone who had the wrong idea would be quickly corrected. Some of her students don't think it would be such a bad thing if people thought they were coming by as part of a lap dance service. "At my age, it's flattering," said Jane Fire. Helen says when men call, she just tells them to bring their daughters over so she can teach them to tap dance. That ends the conversation. How about this one? This is one of my favorite all-time Rolling Stones songs. Dateline, St. Petersburg. Is car art, and will it still be hers?
I see a red door, and I want it painted black.
black. Jennifer Sloan Anderson says her 04 Saturn Ion, I thought it was an Icon. Is it Ion? I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Is it? Okay. Became a work of art this fall when she covered it with elaborate paintings supporting Barack Obama. But Chrysler, which financed the purchase, maintains that it's just a car. And that Stone Anderson, has been missing payments. And that her work of, quote, art is about to be repossessed. So, she says it can't be because she is, it's a piece of art. You can't repossess art.
Right.
Why can't you?
I don't know.
Can you finance art? I mean, you can't. You can't finance anything these days is what they tell you.
True.
But I don't know about you, but I sure noticed the 2 and 3 credit card offers that I get every single day still in my mailbox.
Yeah.
So somebody's offering money.
Yeah.
Somebody's wanting to finance something.
Right.
Dateline Daily Express. This is in the UK. It is entitled Quacking Gay Love Story. Once I ran to you, now I run from you. This tainted love you've given, I give you all. It was hoped that feathers would fly when two rare male blue ducks were introduced to the only female of their species in Britain. Ben and Jerry were meant to fall for Cherry. Is Ben and Jerry's got a cherry? It's Cherry Garcia. It's an excellent ice cream.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what they're talking about.
Probably
here.
Not.
And help produce some much-needed ducklings. Instead, the two only had eyes for each other. And have been inseparable ever since. Yeah, Paul Stevens, he's the warden. I guess that's what they call animal caretakers or whatever. Said, to our surprise, the two males really took to each other. It would have been nice to get a clutch of eggs from Cherry. But Ben and Jerry do make a lovely couple. TV wildlife expert Chris Packham said ducks are one of the few species that show this behavior regularly. But the gay love story does nothing to help the endangered blue duck with just 2,500 now left in their native New Zealand.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Who knew? Who knew?
I don't know.
That was stupid.
That was.
That was worldly. Yes. Because it was mentioned in the UK as well as New Zealand.
Right.
And it's famous because it's now on airing it out. And, man, I've never been called a homer so much in my life. I admitted my bias up front, did I not?
Yes, you did.
You know, and listen, I told you, I'm a basketball guy. There's no sour grapes there. I mean, they could have played 10 times, and I think the outcome would be probably similar. That's how good Elliott County is. And so that's not. Did you think that came across as that? Sour grapes?
I don't think so.
I didn't. I have no illusions
right.
about it. I was just trying to make a point. Yeah, see, and that's why I was warned off, really, quite frankly. I was warned off, but as is my wont, I completely said, I'll take your advice under advisement, and then just said, I'm going to go do my own thing. So you're going to get out of here early because you're afraid, aren't you? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to lock the door.
No. We're kidding. We're kidding. That's not happening. So Sunday evening is the next edition?
That's right.
The next edition of Airing
Out. Unless something happens with the Cats.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of basketball.
Yeah. But I don't, I mean, not to be, you know.
They're not no.
Negative
you can say
anything,
no.
But
there's nothing negative. They're not going to put four wins
they've
together.
They've got to have four wins to be able to get that far. So.
I would love it, but it's just not happening.
Yeah,
kind of like the game we were just talking. It's just not happening. You know, I don't know what's going on in Lexington. Well, I do actually, but I it's not fit for air really because you know people tell me stuff. Not wanting it to be put on the air, You see what I'm saying here?
Right, I do.
But suffice it to say that it's a mess. I think
everybody knows that.
Yeah, and I think their basketball shows it. Yeah. That is certainly true. But I want to thank everybody for listening, and everybody for calling this evening. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you. We really, really do, and look forward to continuing this conversation. Not really this particular conversation, but a different one on Sunday at 5 p.m., which is the next edition of Airing It Out. We hope that you'll tune in then. As for this evening, thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs, a presentation of the best country, 105.7 WLGC.
Tune in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 5 p.m. for live shows on 105.7 WLGC and, of course, DrewSkaggs.com.